Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
As we know from the beginning of our service, as I said, today is the day that we recognized our graduates and wish them well. And I have fashioned my sermon so that it's applicable to our graduates, but it's also applicable to each and every one of us. So if you would, not only our graduates, but if each of you will pay attention, hopefully you will glean from it some measures that will help you as you want to become a successful graduate and a successful person. You know, completing 12 or 16 or 17 years of school involves facing some very real challenges. And as all of us can testify, making it through life will involve even more challenges which we must meet and hopefully overcome. However, the wonderful fact about confronting these numerous challenges is that we already have face some of them with victories and have them under our belts. Graduates, think of when you graduated from the womb and adjusted to life on the outside. You graduated from infancy and successfully began the first day of kindergarten. You graduated from pre-adolescence and successfully navigated those teen years. And now you have graduated from high school or college or graduate school, and you must travel the road of adulthood. And how can you assure that your success will continue? Well, I want us to look at three guidelines from God's Word, which gives us the pattern for success. And they can apply to each and every one of us here today. And our text comes from three books of God's Bible, 2 Timothy, Philippians, and Hebrews, and I shall read passages from each of these books as we progress with the message. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. You know, one of the greatest impediments to success is fear. Think about that. Whenever we have a task to do, there's always a certain amount of fear to it. Speaking in public, presenting a theory to your business partners, speaking up in class, there's always a certain amount of fear. And while all fear is not bad, we all know what it's like to be afraid. And when fear immobilizes us and keeps us from doing that to which we've been called, we are dominated by a spirit of fear. And this type of fear paralyzes and prevents us from doing the things we could do or the things we should do. With this fact in mind, I want us to look at the first scripture selection. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, this verse was written to a young man named Timothy. And he was perhaps only a little older than some of our graduates here today. He was a young pastor at the church in Ephesus, and he lacked self-confidence. He was a protege and was mentored by the Apostle Paul. In an earlier letter, Paul encouraged Timothy not to allow anyone to intimidate him because of his age. Timothy feared being inadequate as a pastor because he was so young. But in this second letter from which we've just read, Paul reminds Timothy that any cowardice, any timidity, any fear on his part is not from God's Spirit. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. As that verse tells us, he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. He provides the continuous comfort we need to eliminate our fears. And with God in control, we can face those fears no matter what they are, each and every day. He gives us the ability to do what life demands, to love when others hate, and to remain calm and under control when others throw restraint to the winds. Max Lucado writes, "Fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain. If he can rattle you enough, fear will persuade you to take your eyes off of the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands." You know, living far away from home can be very stressful at times. Chris and Evan, my sister, went to Radford for 1 week. And she called home every night. And on Wednesday, Dad said, "Can you hold out till Friday?" And she said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, be packed because I'm coming to get you." Back then, you know, we just had one car. Dad and Mom worked 10 and 12 hours a day at a little mom and pop grocery store. You know, he couldn't afford a high phone bill, and she would call and cry 30, 45 minutes every night. So he went and got her. So she was fearful from living far away from home. She'd never been away from home. But then she went to Richard Bland for a semester and then went to VCU, and then they couldn't get her to come back home. She didn't want to. But living away from home can be fearful at times. Reporting for a job interview can be stressful. Not having friends who care for you can be devastating. Yet God has given you, graduates, and each and every one of us, a spirit of determination, not a spirit of fear. It's God's will to move you from fear to confidence. You're called to live your life courageously and to trust that the Holy Spirit will work in you and through you, regardless of your young age. And God will and can use you to his glory if you are willing to face those fears. Saying yes to Jesus on a secular campus is a courageous act because you fear being stereotyped. Saying yes to a godly lifestyle in the workplace can be a daunting task because you fear ridicule. Saying no to drugs and to the parties to which you'll be invited is a courageous act because you fear being alone. Staying in a marriage which at some point has reached a dead end is a courageous act because you fear being unfulfilled in your life's expectations. Saying yes to honesty and integrity in the academic world is a courageous act because you fear a bad grade. In fact, one of the biggest battles you face or will face is the battle for honesty and integrity, because dishonesty is rooted in fear. You know, a rancher asked a veterinarian for some advice. He said, "I own a horse, and some days he walks normally, and some days he limps. And I want to sell him, and I want to make a profit. What should I do?" And the veterinarian said, "On the day he walks normally, sell him." You know, we laugh at that, but dishonesty is the common factor today. It's the norm today. It takes courage to be honest on a resume, or to not cheat on an exam, or to file correct taxes, or to be fair in a business transaction. Face your fear of a poor grade, or of not being hired, or of losing a profit, with the knowledge that God promises to assist you by providing you the necessary power and love and self-discipline you need, even if you must stand alone. You know, a university study found that on morality, persons would rather be with the majorities and be wrong than be right and stand alone. It's sad. What they did was they had these tests, and they would ask the question. There was three lines, and they would ask the question, which is the longest line? And the instructor had told nine of them, of the 10 students, to pick the second longest line. Well, when she would point to the longest line, the 10th student would raise his or her hand and look and see that nobody else had raised it and put it down. And then when she pointed to the second longest and the other nine raised their hand, this person would too. They'd rather not stand alone and be wrong than to stand alone and be right. And next scripture selection provides the second guideline for being a successful graduate or a successful person, which is forget your failures. You know, the first one is face your fears, and now we're talking about forget your failures. And our scripture comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this passage from prison. He was chained to a Roman guard at the time he wrote, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul is saying he has not yet been perfected. That is to say, he has not yet been made Christ-like in every way. And he admits he's not reached this goal, but he further admits being single-minded, forgetting the past. And this is a good trait for all of us, but particularly for Paul, because Paul's past included many mistakes, not the least of which was persecuting Christians. So he says, I look to the future. I strive towards that prize of being as Christ-like as possible, of reaching a heavenly life. He makes two points here, Paul does. He refuses to allow failures to become destructive in his life, and he refuses to allow failures to interfere with or sidetrack his journey to eternal life, to being as Christ-like as he can. There will be failures. None of us is perfect. Do you know that only people who will never make a mistake? The only ones who never do anything. It's not a question of if we'll fail. It's a question of when we fail. I remember reading about the gentleman Dyson, who invented the vacuum cleaner with the ball on it. Before that, he'd invented the wheelbarrow with the ball on it. And he hadn't been smart about protecting his patent. And he looked around, and the company that he had created owned that. So he decided, well, I'll do something else. And he invented this vacuum cleaner, and he said it only took him 2,768 failures before he perfected it. So it's not if we're going to fail, it's when we fail. And when we fail, the object is to learn from the failure and then put it behind us and never let failure keep us from trying again. Now, to reach the goal of spiritual maturity and eternal life of which Paul speaks, we must also follow the final guideline to being a successful graduate or person, and that is to follow our faith. Face your fears, forget your failures, and follow your faith. If you look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will never grow weary or lose heart. The book of Hebrews is being written to Christians who were struggling in their faith. They were wavering in their allegiance and their devotion to Jesus. And the author of this book encourages us not to waver. And he says that those, there are many before us who were successful. And we can be successful in our journey also. But we must rid our life of every hindrance and sin. We must clear out the clutter. Run with endurance the race set before us, keeping Jesus as our goal. Being fixed on him, thinking of Jesus and what he suffered from sinners, so that we'll have courage, that we'll have heart, and will not give in. The scripture teaches us that all runners, those of a physical race as well as a spiritual race, need a reference point. And as we are running this spiritual race to be mature Christians and to have eternal life with Jesus, we must use Jesus as our reference point. We must look at God's word that tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes, Jesus is the reference point, graduates and friends. You can be flexible on many things, and you should be in life. But when it comes to Jesus and his teachings being your reference point, never budge on it. Never take your cue from a person. Always look to God's word and prayer with God to guide you. It's so easy to become distracted, particularly you graduates who are going off to college, the first year away from home is so easy. But remain focused. Remove any obstacles that may keep you, those MP3 players, your games, your Xboxes, and all that stuff. You may want to not put those hurdles in front of you. Attend a local church or join a camp ministry to help you navigate life away from home. Remember, there are always those who have gone before you, and these are those clouds of witnesses who are rooting for you to be successful. And your greatest challenge will not be chemistry, will not be physics. Your greatest challenge will be to follow your faith and stay focused on Jesus all the way. So hopefully we have learned here today that in order to be a successful graduate and a successful person, that we must face our fears, we must forget our failures, and we must follow our faith. And I just hope that you graduates will make sure your relationship with Jesus is right as you move through this transitional time in your life. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, and those who would like to have Jesus as the reference point in their life, if you don't already, we invite you to come forward and accept him as your Lord and Savior today.